Thank you, Father, for all the blessing you pour upon us. And Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you give us as we come to your word, as we open ourselves up to you, as we allow you to transform us and change us. Lord, we have a part we play, and Lord, we acknowledge that we want to allow you to do those changes, to transform us more and more in the way you want us to be, so that we may have the righteousness of God manifested in our lives, because this was your plan from the beginning, and this is what you are going to establish as the time comes for Jesus to come back again. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've been starting to talk about the righteousness of God. And we have seen quite a few scriptures already. And we had to realize that this is an important concept, logos, that God wants to plant in us. Because that's the only way to please God. It's the only way for us to be able to be the way God wants us to be, because that's what righteous means. Righteous means to be right. Righteous means that we are the way God wants us to be, as we should be. And so this is really what was at the beginning, the way he made at the beginning, and then with Adam messed it up, but this is the plan that he wants to reestablish. Man's redemption through Jesus is just bringing about that change again, so that we are the way God wants us to be. That means righteous. And it's not through our own abilities or our own works or our own effort. Is his ability, is his work inside us that enables us to be transformed that way. We have to realize that, and we have to realize that we have a part we play in making that happen. We have a part we play in bringing that manifestation into our life. It's not just a theological statement, theoretical ideas that we should say, well, you know, I'm the righteousness of God because, and we are something else in the reality. In reality, we had to become that. So that when we say that, we actually are. And this manifested in our behavior, in the way we act, in the way we think, in the way we are. Period. And it's not something that we had to work forward. It's not an effort to do it. It's not difficult to be righteous. We are righteous because he made us righteous. And so we can walk in that righteousness, we can walk in that dimension without making any effort whatsoever, because the very moment when we are making an effort means because we have moved out of that and we are trying to do it in the flesh. See, it's God working in us that makes us the way we should be. This is all the basis for salvation by faith. Is that we believe it, we receive it, and we manifest it. Now, we have to realize and we have to recognize where we are. Because one thing is that we should be righteous, another thing is we are righteous. And we have to see the difference, that what that the difference means within ourselves. So we're going to go to the Word of God, because this is the only way that we can determine those things. You know, we cannot determine your things by your own reasoning or by your own effort. You have to go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. So we go to Romans chapter 10. And we start seeing what says about us. That scripture we have read, that we are the righteousness of God in him. But it's fine. That is what we are. And that scripture is true. But we have to see how the scripture is true, when the scripture is true, how is it going to work with us. And so Romans chapter 10 tells us exactly the way we are going to determine and to be able to assess where we are in this process. And that means also that we know the steps we can take toward that. The transformation that has to take place in us. There was a song we sang before that God transformed me. Well, God doesn't transform us. The transformation took place as we allow the Word to change us. It's not God, it's a part we play, and so we have to be open to the Word to make that transformation take place. As we receive the Word, we are changed. Amen. That transformation take place, and we have a part we play. And this is, if you want, the back end of the story that shows us some of the things that have to be in place. Starting from verse 6, says, but... You see, he's talking about things. Now, a but means, you know, there is something that we have to consider. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. You see, there is something that we say that shows us that we are there. And also shows us that when we are there, that we are going, that's what we are going to say. Are you following me? You see, it's not just something that we have to try to say. And when they say, you know, speaks that way, it's not just speaks loud. Sometimes we speak loud because we know we have to say certain thing because that's what is accepted by everybody. When you speak something, you speak it in within yourself before you speak it aloud. And so it's not just a question that comes just out of your mouth. You know, it just is something that you even say to yourself. And what you say to yourself sometimes is much more significant than what you say and going to say to other people. Because we say to other people the things that we think are accepted. See, we are used and trained to conform to the world around us. And this is what the Bible says not to do. It says be transformed and not be conformed to the world. So it's not a question of trying to be in a certain way so that they accept you. It's when to realize that that change took place and then you're going to say certain things within yourself and to others. Lots of people with the confession idea, they go around confessing a lot of things and you listen to them as, oh yeah, this person has a lot of faith. In reality, they don't have any faith whatsoever because when they talk about it with themselves, they say something completely different. They go around and say, oh, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, and go around and say, oh, I did it again. But they don't say that to the other people. Well, there is a problem there. You see, there is no consistency, there is no congruence in your life. If there is no congruence, you are going to be tossed like a leaf, tossed to and fro by every wind that comes around, and there is not going to be any difference. Why? Because you don't progress. You just go all over the place. Random walk. Get you nowhere. Okay, so here he's telling us something. To manifest as righteousness of God. I mean, that's a big change has to take place. And when you speak that way, do not say in your heart. See, that's the thing that you shouldn't be saying. Who will ascend to heaven? Unfortunately, this scripture is not that clear and not that simple for people to pick up. And so, you know, often most of the people don't even get what he's saying. But here he's saying, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Instead of using these words that are a bit difficult to connect, when you are in a situation, and you ask yourself, I don't know, who can do that? Why do you do it? You see, that's exactly the same thing that he's saying there. He said, and that means, you know, that what Jesus did, you consider it not enough to deal with your situation. Are you following what I'm saying? This is what you're saying there. And that's not the way we will express it, but really he's saying to us, when you face a situation and you say to yourself, we will ascend into heaven. I mean, you need to go to heaven. You need something supernatural to happen for this to happen. Well, Jesus went up to heaven. He did everything that needed to be done. So it's not a question of saying who's going to do it. He has done it already. He's finished. He's done. He got the victory. He has the power. He's passed it over to us. He's enabling us to do whatever we need to do. So you don't need to be there wondering. You see, this is wondering of the mind that tells us, I don't know. Well, you don't need to know. Are you following what I'm saying? This is repeating in two times. But he went to heaven. That's a demonstration that he did it. He had victory. Not only that. But so it goes on, it says, who will descend in the abyss? This is so difficult. I mean, how are you going to break through the power of darkness in a way? And that's what he did. So there is no deeper hell or any higher spiritual thing that he has not achieved. Don't wonder about it. Realize that it was done and he is a victory, and so you stand on the victory that he conquered. You see, this is depending on him, and what you look at yourself, you don't make it yourself the problem to overcome because he overcame. Are you following me? This is what he's telling us. It's not probably the way we would write it down, but Paul reasoned his own way, and it was a different time. The point is, he knew what he was thinking in terms of his theology and his understanding of the word. And so, to connect to that, we had to start thinking the way he thought. So, when you find yourself in a situation, you say, I don't know what to do. What's the wrong thing you're saying already? Oh, how can you resolve this? It's not your problem. Your trust, your confidence, you're believing that what Jesus has done is enough. He did it. He went up to heaven. He went down to hell for us. There is nothing that can stop you. And you have to start appropriating that for yourself, because he didn't do it for himself. He didn't need to. He did it for us. Now, that has to become a reality. That has to become to be sure that when you speak to yourself, is faith righteousness. You see, you are the way God wants you to be. That's faith righteousness means. The faith that makes you able to be the way God wants you to be. And that means, you know, that because of your faith, because of your believing, because of your belief system, you can say the right thing because they're inside you already. When you realize that, and you realize that you're saying something else that doesn't agree, that shows that you are wondering why you're going to do certain things, instead of really trusting that what Jesus done is enough. I mean, you are sick, and you are there wondering, oh Lord, please do it. He has done it. You believe that he has done it, and you stand on that truth, and there is nothing is going to move you. I'll tell you, if that's the case, it's not going to stay there very long. Hallelujah. And if it's there very long, it's because you really are wavering. The very moment when you really take a stand, the very moment is done. And from that moment on, you know, doesn't matter what you see, doesn't matter, you know you have it. And it's going to be also manifested. And sometimes there is physical transformation that has to take place, and depending on the degree of connection and power that goes flowing through you, may take some time, but doesn't matter. You have the victory, and the victory is going to be fully manifested because God's power is greater than all this other stuff, and he overcame these things. He just went down to hell. That's what it says there. And he's done. And so anything that comes from hell, you don't need to hold it on yourself. Hello. Do you want the victory? Well, you have to stand on the victory. Because, you know, otherwise the enemy is coming to steal and kill and destroy. Take it away from you, because that's the work he does. That's what he is trained to do. That's what his purpose is. And you have to take a stand. He doesn't give up easily. He says, oppose the devil and he will flee. Doesn't say, stay there and look after it so they're making him feel comfortable with you. That's what most people do. Oh, you know, that doesn't get you victory. I'm getting so mad at the devil. I see so many people suffering and going through problems. And they do not understand that they had to change their attitude to overcome. And I declare war. But the key thing is that we have to realize that he's in our side. Okay, when we realize that he's in our side, we have victory. Do not wonder. Know what Jesus has accomplished for you. Then goes on. But what does it say? So I said before, don't say these things. Don't say things that are disagreeing with what the word says. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The point is, this is what you should be speaking, because this is the word of faith. This is what makes the difference. That's what gives you the victory. You see, it's in your mouth, and you can say, but if it's not in your heart, it's not going to do very much. If you just know the theory, it's not going to help you. It has to be applied to your heart, it has to be there, so that you don't need to think about it. You see, when he's naturally there, God's moving in the Spirit doesn't involve thinking. When you naturally react in the way God wants you to, is because inside your heart is already planted there. You don't need to think about stopping to say the wrong thing, because the only thing you're going to say is the right thing that comes out. And if something different comes out, you're going to figure it out, and it's not coming out. We can be bombarded by ideas. But when they come to you, you recognize them that way. You see, this is arrows thrown at you, and you say, psst, go away. And you send it away immediately. You cast down any imagination that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Why? Because you don't need to think about it. The very moment it comes to you, you know what it is. You are not wondering, is this coming from God or is this coming from the devil? As the devil written all over it, you just don't even need to think about it. But it has to be so deep that it's like when you're driving the car and a person jumps in front of you, you don't need to be there thinking, do I have to push the brake? Well, if it's at the very beginning, when you are a beginner of driving, you may think about twice, you know, what am I going to do? Which is the foot I had to use? But after a while, you do it before you even think about it. Have you ever driven for a long time and you didn't realize where you were going, and you find yourself in a place and say, how did I get here? Well, your mind was somewhere else, but your body was driving, because that route was so familiar to you that you didn't need to think. Well, the route to the truth should be inside you so deep that you don't need to think about where you had to go. You just go there. And if that means you had to be there spending time meditating, well, go right ahead. Nobody else can do it for you. So, it's in your mouth and in your heart, that which the word of faith which we preach. So you see, you have to take the word of faith, the word that God says, what God says, and no wonder about it. Just know, this is the basis for your beliefs. This is the basis for your authority. That is the basis for your victory. And you can see it within yourself. And when you are there wondering about stuff, you know you got the problem. You know that at the moment you cannot be wondering and be righteous. Because you are not the way God wants you to be. God doesn't want you to wonder, is this right or wrong? God wants you to know. He has given you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He's given you the understanding and the truth that set you free. So you have to stand on there and know what you got. And go with it. Are you following me? So there are some components here. Some parts that are important here. Continue on the scripture. The components of the manifestation of the righteousness of God in you. Romans 10 verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So that's the first thing. And it doesn't mean you go around, well, you know, Jesus is Lord. That's much more than that. You see, you agree with the fact. He's going to come out. But that means that you really believe that Jesus is Lord. Not just Lord of you, just He's Lord. He got the victory. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one you can depend, and you know that He got the victory, that victory was given for you. And you stand on that position, and it doesn't move you because you are, and what you are doing, that is speaking the word of faith. You see, that is the word of faith. He is Lord. It's not just a way of saying so that you sound Christian. It's that you know within yourself that that is the case. And so you start there. You see, you start agreeing with God's word. And you start speaking it within yourself and outside as well. If you don't have the courage to speak it outside, you probably, quite likely, don't have it inside either. If just some external thing can affect you so that you don't speak it out, well, evidently, there is not enough strength inside yourself to be able to say it by yourself when you are by yourself. Anything that comes around is going to affect you saying it even to yourself. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And this is just nothing else than the things he was saying before, you see. He's believing that God's power was manifested in him so that he could overcome death, could overcome sickness, could overcome disease, could overcome anything that comes against you, so that anything that comes at you, you know that he won the victory over those things, and you can count on his victory because his victory was for you. That's where you have to stand. That's why you can. That's what you have to say. That's what you have to confess. That you have to agree with. And you are not wondering anymore. You see, you have to see what you say inside yourself. This is the best place to see your self-test. Is the way that is going to demonstrate where you are in your heart. What are you telling yourself? And not the moment that you are at church, everything is excited, everything is having a good song, everybody is having, and you're reading the word. No, it's when you bang against the reality of life, and you stay in a situation in which they would accuse God of not being true. That's the time when you take a position and says, no way, I know I have the victory. This is the word of faith. It's not when everything goes fine and there is no testing for it. Still there? Yes. Praise the Lord. For with the heart, one believes into righteousness. Is where you know, when your belief system is right, you are right. When you believe the right thing, you cannot be anything else but right. Are you getting it? All right. Good. Now, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The part is, your mouth is where your body starts actually doing the things corresponding to what you believe inside. So, you know, it's going to be manifested. part of the manifestation is the things you say, but it's going to be much more than what you say. You see, it's manifested unto salvation, which actually means the victory, the deliverance, the healing, the whatever it is that you had to get is going to be coming a reality, and it's going, you know, and it's going to be the triggering moment or the moment in which you're going to say, yes, that's it, and it's going to come. And it's not going to take forever. It's that moment it takes place. All the healing that you take, no matter what they are always instantaneous. I'm fully convinced of that now. Amen. The point is, they're not going to be necessarily manifested instantaneously. But there is a moment in time in which the healing takes place. And from that moment on, there's going to be physical changes. Now, if there is enough power, the physical change can be, boom, disappear instantaneously or not. Who cares anyway when you got the victory? But if there is nothing happening, nothing happening. People keep in the hope that something is going to happen and nothing happens, and they get disappointed and they say, it doesn't work. Well, you never got to the place to break through. That's for another day. Confession is made unto salvation. You see, there is a triggering moment. The moment I know, I live it. I know the way it works. Comes the time you say, I got it. And you got it. Doesn't matter what, if you see it or not seeing it, you got it. But you had to take that position. You had to take that stand. And it's not because you take the stand, it's because you take the position because your heart got it. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Do you hear what it's saying? You see, there is not a question of working or not working. When you really believe in him, there is no way that is not going to happen what he said it would happen. You will not be put to shame. Yes, you are sure, 100%. Because you believe. Not only because you believe, but also you know that you believe. You are not wondering if... Did I get it or not? You are not wondering. There is a change inside you, even if physically is not there, that makes you say, I have it. And you have it. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Now you go to around people that are full of unbelief, you let them influence you, and you may open up to some other demon. So you better protect yourself. Okay? But the fact is still there that you got the victory. Now other people say, well, you see, you didn't get it. Well, no, you lost it and something else came up. Why? Because you were vulnerable. But when it comes the time when you are not vulnerable, you can step on scorpions and serpents and laugh at their face. The vision I had when I was just a new believer and I saw all these demons surrounding me, they were afraid of me. I would move, they would back up. It may have not been that much true at that time because sometimes I didn't understand enough, but now I know that they back up because I know where I stand. They have no chance. And they know I'm mad at them too. See, people think that you have to be lovey-dovey to be a Christian. Jesus wasn't lovey-dovey. For certain things, he was pretty tough. Why? Because you had to be tough with the enemy. He doesn't like to give in that easily. And you had to tell him where to go. Amen? Faith, righteousness, that's what you need. The righteousness, being the way God wants you to be, because your beliefs are there. And you have to, the source of that, the beginning of that, is know what the Word says you are. To know what the Word says you got. See, everything based on that is not the feeling that you have. Feelings are completely secondary. The feeling comes and goes. And the enemy uses the feeling to take you bound, keep you bound there. So you can go by the feeling, feeling good or feeling bad, who cares? What cares is that what really matters is the word. You stand on the word. And you throw it in his face. The way Jesus did. That's the way you get the victory all the time. You resist it. For whatever reason, you feel sorry for yourself. Going back to, from ourselves to Jesus. You know, in realizing the power and the authority that Jesus has is important. Everybody said, you know, see Jesus like this little figure, you know, looking good. But you look at what the image of Jesus in Revelation, and you get an idea of what he's like now. Okay? So let's go in Revelation chapter 1. And see, because do you say, where is Jesus? Well, wait a minute, we're going to see about that. Right, verse 17 says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. John had a relationship with him, and loved Jesus and everything else. But when he saw Jesus that way, the way he is, the only thing he could do is fall down like that. I mean, he was afraid. He said, if we're afraid, what was slain by the Spirit and feeling that's good? That's not, well, just read what it's saying here. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. So he was afraid. If Jesus told him, he saw Jesus, and he was scared stiff to fall on the ground. To the point that Jesus had to touch him on the shoulder and said, do not be afraid. It's okay. It's me. I'm your friend. Amen? I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Now he's trying to establish the background there. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades, or hell, and death. So this is what he said he had. Jesus has the key of hell and death. This is the type of authority that he has. And if you read Matthew 28, it says, all power and authority is given to me, this kind of authority. Therefore, you go and do it. Is giving us his authority. And that authority is over hell, I mean all the forces of darkness. That's what he's saying about. That's what the aid is. And the forces of darkness and even death. So that he could say, you know, go raise the dead. I mean, if you have power over the death, if you had that authority, I mean, when you... It's not going to come just because sometimes you say, oh, you know, I'd like to go and raise up some dead. You know, when your belief system is to the place where you can believe what he's saying and you understand his authority, you have to understand. See, without understanding, there is no, you're not going to get anywhere, number one. But after you understand it with your thinking, or you have embraced that idea, those became clear, then you have to become part of you, and you have to believe it with your heart, so that you can actually say, so that you're going to see yourself before a cadaver, and you say, in Jesus' name, get up, because it's inside you. You're not there thinking about it. Is it going to happen, or I'm going to look like a fool? You know, just because you want it doesn't make any difference. It's not what you want that counts here. It's what you believe is, so that you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that this is so, that he has done it and he's accomplished. This is what God wants to do with us. This is what God wants to do with us. How is he going to come back with to a church that is weak, that cannot raise the dead, when this is exactly what he wants to do? This is the way that the end time revival is going to sweep the world, because people are going to come out from the dead. Why? Because people like me and you are going to be able to say, get up. And it happens already, if you want to know. Much more in other countries than in Canada. Why? Because we are so flimsy and wishy-washy that we don't believe anything. Hello. I'm not talking theory here. Just read the word. This is what the word says. The word of faith, not the word that is generally preached. Now, I'm not the first one. If I would be the first one, you say, you're crazy. I've been people from ages ago, generations ago, that have been talking about this. The thing is, most of the people are uncomfortable with this kind of an idea. Oh, this is extreme. So go around and be just wishy-washy. It's your choice. You get sick and you die. Or you take a position and you live. Because the word says, you shall live and not die if you believe the right thing. But you have to overcome all the brainwashing and ideas and what is acceptable and what is... you cannot go and say something like that, because otherwise you tell people they don't have faith. Exactly. That's what's happening. Or you make them feel bad. Well, you want to make them feel bad, or you want to get them healed? That's the bottom line. Do you really care about the person? Or do you care about making them feel good? That's really the bottom line. Because if you just want to put Band-Aid so that the thing doesn't hurt so much, you can do that and you let them die. Or you want to speak the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts a bit, but the point is, that's the only way that you get them free. And you have to go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says, not what you feel comfortable with. We have to realize that we are connected to what Jesus did. What he did is for us, so that we may benefit from what he did, and so that we can manifest in our life the things that he accomplished. Otherwise, he wasted his time, because he didn't need to die. He was without sin. He died for us. This is God's plan. This is his good, God's goodness. See, and when we realize that, and we realize that God loves us so much that he didn't mind dying for us, then we have to, wasn't so that we can preach a nice sermon, was that we can really raise the dead. I mean, it's just as big. Do you realize that? God died for you so that you feel good. He didn't feel good to go through the things he went through, did he? So, he didn't mind to feel what he felt, because that was just a short time. What he got, it's the eternal victory. And our victory, exactly what he was trying to get. Now, if we, because we want things to be our own way, don't accept everything he did, you know, accept only a little thing like that instead of the whole package, all in 9 yards, then he wasted his time. So for today we close, but tomorrow, next Sunday, we're going to talk about the follow-up for us that is clearly shown in the Bible. He's the firstborn, our name, of many brethren. You want to call it sisters too, it doesn't make any, there's no sex involved in here. Okay? So Is he the firstborn? Or we are just useless, not very good anyway, and we have to just make do? Do we have the righteousness of God in us? Or are we just dirty sinners saved by grace? But still sinners. I mean, if you are a sinner, you have the next righteousness of God. Saved doesn't just simply mean that, you know, you can go to heaven sometime, but now you are useless. You are perfect? No, no way. You are not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Praise God. Jesus is, and his perfection is enough to compensate for our imperfections. He got the victory, and we can go through his victory to perfection. We are becoming perfected. When he comes back, you know he's waiting for us. What's he waiting for? Why is he waiting? There has to be a manifestation down here. Let's close for today in prayer. Do you get anything today? All right, praise God. Hallelujah. We thank you and praise you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Lord, give us power and give us victory. Thank you, Lord, that Lord we can know who we are, and we will not be put to shame, because your word says so. We don't need to make it up. We don't need to try. We just need to allow your word to transform us in the spirit of our mind. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.